black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm going to die out here. No one's ever going to know.
And I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me. And this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun, grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sure. See ya.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Happy holidays. I hope your week is treating you well. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Patrick. And Patrick had a very strange encounter with something in the woods. And I've actually heard this before many times from a lot of different people, from military guys to hunters. And I don't really have a great answer. I feel bad. I told Patrick I don't have an answer for him on what this thing is that he ran into. But I've heard it many times, and it's been caught on camera, even out in the woods. And it's described as kind of a shimmer, an outline of a person. If you're into Bigfoot, sometimes they describe it as the predator. It's something there in front of you. You can see through it, but there's something there in front of you. And I've had many people run into it. Many people describe it exactly the same way Patrick is going to describe it tonight, and exactly the way... Even a lot of Bigfoot researchers have run into this thing. Most of them don't talk about it publicly, but I can assure you a lot of people have run into this thing. And I'm just at a loss as far as what it is. And Patrick's going to be talking about some of the more strange encounters he's had throughout his life. May not be Bigfoot related, but it's okay to go off trail sometimes. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com, and if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Patrick to the show. Patrick, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on, Patrick. I really appreciate you being here, and I'm excited to talk to you. I know you ran into something very odd in the woods. May not necessarily be Bigfoot related, but it is odd. And I've had a lot of people run into what you ran into. And my answer is the same every time. I just kind of shrug my shoulders and go, I don't know. I really don't know what it is. But if you would kind of take us back to that moment and tell us what you saw. And now all of this happened in Ohio, correct?
Yeah. So I was about 10 years old at the time. Would have been back in the early 90s. My mom had just remarried very recently, and we moved to a house about 25 to 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland in a little town called Perry, Ohio, right on Lake Erie. And the new property that we moved into had, I think it's 2.5 or 3 acres of land. And Perry is very well known for their plant nurseries, for their agriculture, just the way that the soil is there, the climate and everything. There's a lot of just open land, and it's not a very populated area, so there's also a lot of woods. And when I was younger, I have two older brothers and a little sister before my mom got remarried, and then I also had a stepbrother come into the picture. But when it was just my mom raising us, we didn't have a lot of money. And I remember our TV broke when I was very young, and I just didn't have money to replace it. So growing up, the outdoors was our entertainment. So we'd come home from school and we were immediately outside. And with doing that, being the youngest boy of three boys, I naturally tried to compete with my brothers and everything. So my eldest brother was just a heck of a lot quicker than me. And my next brother was a heck of a lot bigger than me. So I had no hope of besting them in those physical areas. So my mom always encouraged me. She said, you know, just be smarter than them. Go quieter whenever you play your games out there. So when I was young, especially before my mom got remarried, I remember wandering through our woods at that old house in bare feet so I could feel the leaves underneath my feet and feel the sticks as I tried to sneak up on my brothers playing capture the flag or whatever else and try to be as quiet as I possibly could. So that was always in my mind whenever I was out in the woods as a kid. So this particular day, just a quick profile of the property. Our house in that new home, while it was sitting on about 3 acres of land, the back acre was all woods. And there was very, very thick underbrush between our backyard and then the woods themselves. So my stepfather blazed a trail down the left-hand side of our property line, if you're looking out our back door. And that trail essentially turned into a tunnel very quickly through the underbrush. It was probably about 15 to 20, probably about 20 yards in. The underbrush was just really thick there. And so you'd have to walk through that tunnel. And then as soon as you got past that entrance, everything opened up into the woods. And there was no underbrush in that area. And our property backed up to a wholesale plant nursery, which at the time had over 900 acres of land that they utilized. And we backed up to their main farm. So there was literally hundreds of acres of plants just everywhere, which naturally brought in lots of deer and lots of space for little kids to go roam. So it'd be very normal for us coming home from school, throwing our book bags in the house and changing what we needed to, and then immediately going out in the woods and into the nursery land. And the land on either side of that house was also undeveloped when we first moved there. So we had woods everywhere. And then as we got to know our neighbors across the street from us, they had nothing but woods behind them for hundreds of acres that led down into the Grand River Valley and beyond it to the other side to a couple of state parks and other things. So there was just lots and lots of space to run. And that's what we always did. That's what I love to do. That's what my siblings and I love to do. So that's what we always did. This particular day, it was probably mid-spring. So everything was greening up. I took off into the backyard. One of my older brothers was home. He was watching us, myself and my little sister. And I just wanted to get out ahead of them and try to find a spot in the underbrush or a spot in the woods where maybe I could surprise them as they came in, or look for a really good stick or something that I could throw against some of the trees, make some noise, just act like a little kid. And so I ran out ahead of my sister and my brother. And I came out of the tunnel. And like I said, it's all woods there. We had worn a path down. I was going to take that path and look through the wooded area for some good sticks. And as I stepped into the opening of the woods out from that underbrush tunnel pathway, there was a pretty good size oak tree, maybe 10 feet in front of me. It was just on the right-hand side of the footpath that we had worn down. And it had a branch, a really good-sized limb, maybe 15 feet up in the air. And honestly, if it wouldn't have moved, I never would have seen it. But as I walked in, I was trying to be as quiet as I could. I was pretending I was a Navy SEAL or something 10-year-olds do. So I was hugging the right-hand side of the underbrush, trying to not move any of the twigs, trying not to step on anything, not brush any of the new leaves that were coming out, and stepped out into the woods. And all I can describe it as is a predator shape. I had not seen that movie yet, so I didn't have those words at that time. You could see through it, but you could see it. And it was standing on the limb of this tree, but it was hunched down with its knees bent. The tree trunk was on its right-hand side, and it appeared to have an arm up against the tree trunk. And when I walked back there, it stood up on that limb, and it was that movement that caught my eye. Like I said, if it would not have done that, I would have walked right under it and never even known it. But that shape stood up, caught my eye. I immediately turned on my heels and sprinted back down that underbrush path. And I came out of that path going as fast as I possibly could. I couldn't even catch my breath because it was so, honestly, it just scared the living bejesus out of me. Came out of that path and I ran straight into the chest of my older brother. He was trying to corral my little sister, and he was always much taller than me, much bigger than me. So, and I was a little guy. I just slammed right into him. He kind of grabbed me. I fell backwards a little bit. And he looked down at me, and without saying a word, I took off and ran straight into the house. And he came up to the house probably about a minute later, had my little sister in tow. And I was just sitting in our living room or our family room on the couch. I could feel myself shaking. He came in and just looked at me, and he couldn't get words out himself. I think he was shocked, and really confused. And so he just kind of looked at me and said, what? And I didn't know what to say. All I said was, something's out there. That's all I could really find myself muttering. And I don't even know if that's what I said, honestly. I don't remember what I said specifically, just something along those lines. And so he looked at me and said, "Oh, okay, I'll go look." And he went back outside and came back a couple minutes later and said, "There's nothing out there. I don't see anything. I don't know what you saw. Can you tell me what you saw?" And I couldn't. Honestly, I didn't have the words for it. I didn't have the understanding of what it might have been. Not that I do now, honestly. It was something so completely foreign to me that it just, especially as someone who, I mean, I know what a fox sounds like when it cries, and I knew what that sounded like as a 10-year-old. I mean, I knew the woods. I'd stumbled on deer. I'd stumbled on coyotes. I'd stumbled on foxes and raccoons. And but this was beyond what I could comprehend in that moment.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, and it's like I was telling you earlier when we talked, you know, I feel guilty not being able to give you answers for what you saw, and I don't know what you saw, and I've heard it, I've actually heard this many times. A lot of times in Bigfoot encounters I've heard this, a lot of times where Bigfoot's irrelevant and people have run into this. And I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. Everyone I talked to said it's like the predator. I've heard it described as shimmer. You can see through it, but there's still something right in front of you. And it seems to be something people run into in the woods. And I was telling you, too, you know, like Barb Shoup, you and I were talking earlier, Barb Shoup here in Washington State, she filmed something very similar. It ducked down into the brush, and it looks like the predator. And I don't have an answer for anyone on what that is. The two brothers I talked to that I talk about all the time, they talked about them becoming like Shimmer, almost like the predator. And they had a hard time describing what they were seeing too as well. What do you think that you actually ran into? I'm curious on what your opinion is.
I have no idea. But about 25 minutes ago, I looked up that video that you told me about earlier today, that Barb and Huzitz video, and with that Shimmer thing. And I almost screamed out loud because that was exactly what I saw, but a lot bigger than what they caught in that video. I had to watch it several times. I know they played it three times in a loop so you could, your eyes could keen on it. But I'll be honest, Wes, I immediately saw it, and that was exactly what I saw. It was just what I saw was bigger and standing up in a tree versus ducking down and scurrying away. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. And, you know, you and I were talking about natural things that can kind of cloak or whatnot, but I don't know. When I see that, I almost see technology. I don't know how else to describe it. I almost see technology of something cloaking. Is it an alien? I don't know. But she captured it, and she isn't the only person that captured it. You and I were talking earlier. I was telling you about the military guys out on the military base and how they talked about this thing circling their camp. And the new guy that came along, he was asking, what is this thing? And I wish I would have written down what the team leader said it was. He had like a name for it. I don't think he knew what it was, but they had a name for it. And it would kind of harass them, but he said it never hurt anyone. So they just kind of, it is what it is. Very bizarre. Has it affected you over the years, kind of thinking back on that moment?
It did for a little while. I think it did for, you know, maybe a few weeks. But to be honest, it turned into curiosity real quick. So it ultimately never stopped me from wandering the woods alone. Never stopped me from going back into those woods. The first couple times I went back in those woods, I made sure I had somebody with me. Simply trying to figure out what that might be in, and want to make sure it's not hiding in a tree anymore. I mean, I'm looking back, and I'm pretty sure when my brother went back in the woods, he wasn't looking up into the trees to find something. You know, I'm willing to bet he was looking down low for like a bear or something. So I ultimately it didn't, but it did take me a little while to get past it.
Yeah, I would imagine. Did anything else strange happen on that property?
No, not on that property.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I'm glad you looked at that video. I was going to dig it up and send it to you. I'm glad you had a chance to kind of look at it because Barb did capture something. And like I said, I've talked to a lot of Bigfoot researchers off the air, and they will tell you they've seen it. Publicly, they'll tell you something different. But I know a lot of them will tell you they've run into this thing. And it doesn't really seem to be aggressive or really come after anyone. It's just this bizarre thing that hangs around. It's so strange.
Yes. And I don't know what it was, but I know I saw it. And seeing that video that you encouraged me to watch, I was beaming. I imagined the smile on my face was radiant just at actually seeing on video exactly what I saw and hearing the amazement in their voices too. Because that was what I saw.
Yeah, and I appreciate you sharing it because, like I said, a lot of people, Bigfoot's weird enough. I mean, let's be honest, Bigfoot's weird enough. All these other things, I think people get more concerned coming forward because it's even more weird than Bigfoot. One question I want to ask you, Patrick, before we go on, I know there's more demonic and angelic stuff we're going to get into. And one question I ask everyone, what do you think Bigfoot is? I'm just curious on what your opinion is.
First and foremost, I have no idea. And honestly, I'm okay with that. I do think it's a natural creature. I think it was part of the natural creation. And just like all of us, it all got perverted at the fall. But beyond that, I don't know if other things have intervened, be it alien, as some has hypothesized, or potentially Nephilim, or who knows what. But if there are such things as like the platypus, which is so completely ridiculously convoluted and complex and ridiculous, why could there not be a natural creature like Sasquatch? I imagine the first one who showed up with a stuffed platypus got laughed at. So
it's a fair point. Yeah.
Right. So why not? I mean, you have natural creatures who do have the ability to camouflage, now be it they are mostly found in the oceans, but their cells have the capacity to alter their pigmentation based on their surroundings. And our science still doesn't fully understand how they do that. So is it possible something has a similar capacity with their hair? That sounds ridiculous, but why not? I mean, it's currently beyond our comprehension. So I think every possibility has to be on the table right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's hard to argue that. Tell me about some of the more strange things that happened to you. I know you mentioned demons and angels, and you and I haven't really talked about it yet, but tell me about one of the stranger things that happened to you.
Just as a little background, I was raised Catholic, and my mom has actually been a part of a couple of exorcisms. She doesn't talk about them, but just hearing that existed as a kid always got me interested in kind of the paranormal stuff. So I was always open to it. I didn't actively seek out things, but I was open to it. I also grew up hearing stories of the first house that I was born into, where my mom and my biological father lived initially. It's a house in Kent, Ohio, which I didn't realize this until I looked into it. It's actually one of the primary stops on the ghost tours in the town of Kent. So it's still actively haunted, and my family has stories of it. So I grew up with those stories. I grew up with being aware of demonic possession. So again, while I was never seeking any of that out, I didn't do Ouija boards or any of that other stuff. I was just aware of and open to the possibility of potentially bumping into stuff. So my first personal experience was a little over a year after that incident with the Shimmer Predator creature. I had the opportunity to go on a school-sponsored trip to England and Scotland. It was between my fifth and sixth grade school years. So I was 11 going on 12. And one of our first hotels that we stayed at, there were three boys in the group that got to go, and I think it was five or six girls. So the girls got two rooms. The boys, we all got put into one room. There was another boy, Paul, who was older than me. He was going into ninth grade. And a younger boy, Nathan, who was going into fifth grade. So having the three of us in a room, we had the twin beds, or the two beds. And Paul always got his own bed because he was the eldest, and he'd beat us up if we tried to take it from him. So Nathan and I would share a bed. So this first hotel that we stayed at, it was in London, and the room was on the first floor, and it had, beautiful old building. The windows had those bars on the front of it that they put over there for protection. You know, any big city has those around the first and potentially second floor windows. And when we first got to our room, we noticed that whenever we closed the door, there would always be a single knock at the door, just one knock. And Paul Paul and Nathan and I were all kind of looked at each other the first time that happened. When we first got in the room, we thought, oh, that's weird. Okay. Old place, never been here before, whatever. And, you know, went out to go get, go see our teacher, came back in the room and closed the door, and it did it again. So Paul looked at me and said, Patrick, you go stand outside in the hallway. Didn't think about this till later, but essentially Paul was saying, I'm going to sacrifice you to whatever's out there and trying to get in here. So he said, you go stand out there in the hallway. I'm going to close the door, and you let me know if anyone's running down the hallway or something. So I stood in the hallway. He closed the door. As soon as he closed the door, I heard the knock. He heard the knock, and so did Nathan in the room with Paul. Opened the door again, looked at me, and there was no one out there. So this is really weird. So we just went in the room, closed the door, and said, okay, just don't open and close the door anymore. I mean, it was literally any time you close that door, it knocked. So we got settled in. Paul got his own bed. He was closest to the window. And then it was Nathan and I in our bed, and we were between Paul, the window, and the bathroom. So it would be the bathroom, our bed, Paul's bed, and the window. And I just felt creepy in there. Couldn't put my finger on it, but it just felt off. But figured a couple other dudes in here, we'll sleep through it, and we're out of here the next day anyway, so whatever. So the middle of the night, I don't know when it was. I have no idea why, but I woke up facing the bathroom, and I felt somebody was watching me. It just felt really, again, creepy. So I kind of rolled over. I looked over at Nathan. He was asleep and snoring, which is really bugging me. And I looked past Nathan to Paul to make sure that he was all right and there was no one over there. He wasn't staring at me in his sleep or anything. And as I looked at Paul, I looked past him, and the window had almost sheer curtains. And with the street lights on, everything was being backlit. And I saw the shadow and outline of a woman staring in. And that freaked me out. So I just pulled the covers over me. And as I did that, they pulled away from Nathan, and he kind of wrestled a little bit, but he rolled back over, kept on snoring. And I laid under those covers for, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute. And I pulled them down again and looked out the window with my left eye, just kind of peeking, and there was nothing there. So I pulled the covers all the way down. And as I kind of scanned the room, that same woman outline was now a full figure woman at the end of my bed, staring right at Nathan and I. She was all in white, but the white was very old and tattered. It was almost a gray color. She looked to be in about her 20s. She had brown hair that came down past her shoulder. She had brown eyes, and she just stood there looking very peaceful and serene, staring at me. I freaked out again, pulled the covers back over my head. And when I did it this time, I pulled them far enough away from Nathan that he woke up, and he kind of sat up, looked around, and kicked me and pulled the covers back. And when he pulled the covers back, he pulled them off my eyes, and I squeezed open one of my eyes, and there was nothing there. So I didn't sleep very well that night, did not experience anything else. But the next morning, as we were having breakfast, continental style, we were all just chit-chatting. All the girls were talking whatever they were talking about, and I wasn't saying anything. And one of the chaperones was a guy, really good guy. He kind of sat down, and he looked at me, noticed I wasn't saying anything while everyone else was. We're at the start of this 10-day excursion through England and Scotland, and I was saying nothing. So he kind of looked at me and said, Patrick, why are you so quiet? What happened? Is there something wrong? And so I said, I saw a woman in our room last night. And the other voices at our table got quiet, and there was a worker who was helping to clean up dishes and stuff. She stopped and she came over and she said, oh, what room are you in again? And I told her the room number. I don't remember what it was. And she said, oh, you just saw such and such. I don't remember what name she gave. She said she died there giving birth to a son back in the 1800s. And now whenever there's a little boy who's in there, she just shows up to watch on him because she just missed the opportunity to be a mother to a little boy herself. And she said it like she was saying the day's specials. And then she just turned and walked away.
Creepy, man. That's really creepy.
It was, my jaw dropped. The other guys, Paul and Nathan, kind of looked at me and said, there was a ghost in our room. And then they went off about the knock on the door and everything else. And so that was just kind of confirmation that I wasn't crazy, but it was weird.
I would imagine. I don't like that kind of stuff. Whether it's people claim it's a peaceful spirit or a, you know, an angry spirit or a, I could care less. I got no love for any of it. You know what I mean? That's creepy. What was that the only time you've ever experienced something like that?
No. I mean, how weird do you want to get?
Let's get weird.
All right. So I was the, if we went in chronological, let's go chronological order here. So, I was in Kentucky. I went to college there, went to college to be a minister. And my sophomore year at college, I got a part-time ministry position at a church in the middle of nowhere, Eastern Kentucky. Beautiful place, great people, but it was an hour away from anything, literally. And some different things happened, and I ended up being the only pastor there. So I found myself preaching every Sunday, as well as teaching the youth Sunday nights and doing Sunday school Sunday mornings and then Wednesday night, and just the whole kit and caboodle, all while also going to college full time. So I would I wouldn't have as much of an opportunity to put time and energy into my sermon prep as I would have liked to. And they had a parsonage. It was just a trailer directly across the street. It was a double wide directly across the street from this little country church. So I would drive up on Sunday or Saturday nights, and I would spend the night in the trailer. And most Saturday nights I'd walk across the street, go into the church, and I would pray over my sermon and go through the notes and make any changes and just spend probably 2 to 3 hours in the church by myself, just preparing for the next day's lessons, all of it, anything that I needed to get ready for. So I was in there one Saturday night, would have been late spring. It was about May, because I was just getting out of the college semester. And as I was in the church building, now the church was a traditional small country church. You just picture that, and that's what it was. So you came up the front steps, stepped up into the building, and you had pews on the right, pews on the left. You walk straight down that aisle. There's a raised platform with a pulpit. And then on the right-hand side, up against the wall, was the piano. And the only difference than that small country church was behind that piano on that wall, they had added an addition. And there was a door, a doorway that went down. You stepped 2 steps down into a hallway. And the hallway was maybe 8 feet long. And on the left side of that hallway, in that hallway was a doorway that would lead you into the addition where there was a kitchen and a space where they could serve meals together. If you kept going to the end of that hallway, there was a back door. That back door led down a couple of concrete steps, and then you were into the back fields. Now, this church was, again, Eastern Kentucky, not close enough in the south that you were into the Appalachian foothills. So you had just the rolling hills of Eastern Kentucky. But this particular area was very flat, and there were just fields everywhere. There were a couple of dairy farms, one side, lots of horses everywhere, lots of animals everywhere. But nothing extraordinary, just a typical farming community. So as I was in there one night, I was pacing around the pews as I always did, going through my sermon prep, my lesson prep, going through my notes, reading it out loud, just making sure I got the syntax right, all these other things, blah, blah, blah. And as I was walking past the piano, I was walking towards the pulpit. So on my right-hand side was the doorway that went down that hallway. And the only lights I had on were the main lights in the main church area. So as I walked, made that right-hand or that left-hand turn to walk past the piano, I just glanced up and down the hallway, out the back door. And out the back door, I saw two red eyes. They were staring straight in the window, staring right at me, and I stopped, and I had no idea what this was. So I turned on my heels and faced it fully, and those eyes never locked off of mine. It was maybe 5 to 8 seconds that I stood there, and then I walked. I was at this point in my life, I'd experienced a lot, honestly. So curiosity had taken over, and I wanted to know what this was. So I stepped into the hallway, never taking my eyes off of those two red eyes, and the eyes were perfectly circular, but they were spaced, honestly, a little further apart than I would have imagined. I don't know why, but they seemed like they were too far apart. So I kept my eyes on those eyes, and I stepped into the hallway, took a couple of steps and stopped. I was maybe at this point 5 feet away from the back door. And those eyes never blinked. They never moved. I reached my left hand out and fumbled for the light switch in the hallway there, 'cause I was now in the darkness, just being backlit from the sanctuary, from the main area of the church. And those floodlights. So I fumbled for the light in the hallway and had to break my gaze and look on the wall on my left-hand side, flipped on the switch, looked back up, and all it took was that amount of time, and those eyes were gone. So I just kind of stood there.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. You know, in a lot of, and I don't mean to cut you off, but in a lot of Bigfoot encounters, they talk about red eyes. Do you think this was something more demonic?
It's going to sound strange, but it didn't feel like it. I've encountered demonic presences, and this did not feel like it. This felt like something almost natural. I don't know how to explain that. But I didn't feel it just didn't feel like it was.
Yeah. And that's a fair answer. That's a fair answer. What do you think it was?
Well, I don't know, because there were a couple of steps out that back door. So whatever it was had to be, I'm guessing, between 7 and 9 feet tall to be able to look straight through that window that was towards the top of the door. And then within a week, one of the members of the church started having some of his farm animals come up missing. And he immediately blamed it on coyotes. So, you know, I went out with a couple of the guys and a couple of guns and tried to hunt the coyotes down. And we found absolutely zero trace of them. And the coyotes also make lots of noise. And when I stayed out there, you know, in the trailer, I was in the middle of nowhere. There was no light pollution. There was no sound pollution. You could hear a cricket from a mile away. And I never heard a single coyote. But when I was growing up, we'd hear them all the time. So that was strange. I don't know if it was just coincidental.
No, I hear you.
But it kind of made me wonder, you know, what may have been something else. I don't know.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. You know, a lot of witnesses I've talked to on and off the air, they'll talk about the red eyes looking at them through the window. And when I'll ask them, do you think it was eyeshine? And 9 times out of 10, they'll say no. That the eyes seemed to illuminate. It was a weird red eyes looking at them. When you said red eyes, do you think it was eye reflection, or do you think they were they glowing red eyes?
No, they were glowing red eyes. There was too much distance between the and too many angles, and the lights coming from the main part of the church just weren't strong enough to create the vibrancy that I saw within those eyes for it to be a reflection of any sort. They were just too bright for it to be a reflection or an eye shine of any sort.
Yeah, very strange. And a lot of times coyotes will make a mess too when they come in and take your prey. You'll see where there was a fight. You'll see where there was, and for you not to see anything like that, that's very strange. Very strange. Still alarming. I mean, it would freak me out if I looked up and saw red eyes looking at me, you know?
Well, it was. I decided to wait. I waited about an hour, and then I closed up the church and ran across the street to get into my trailer and locked the door as quick as I could. And, yeah, it was a little alarming, to say the least.
Yeah, very alarming. Tell me about another time you ran into, let's say, a demonic encounter.
All right. So I took a group of folks. My wife and I went down to the country of Nicaragua. It would have been, 9 years ago, something like that. We went down to help out a missionary down there in the capital city of Managua. And our team consisted of some good friends of ours, a few couples, and then two single ladies who wanted to join in as well. So it was a mixed group, a lot of fun, and we joined with a team that actually came out from Washington. And we were going to help a missionary group that was helping to rescue young girls from the sex slave trade that was occurring within and around the city dump area. The city of Managua experienced a massive earthquake in the 70s, and half the city collapsed. And after that happened, they simply didn't have the money to rebuild. So the poorest of the poor ended up moving into that portion of the city and began stripping out the buildings for copper and wires and anything else that they could sell. And eventually they ended up making a home there. So for several generations, the poorest of the poor people in the capital of Nicaragua have been literally living in the city's dump. And whenever they give birth to a daughter, within a few years, they start selling that daughter to the garbage truck drivers for sexual favors. Because by now, that portion of the city's dump has been stripped of anything valuable. So these missionaries rescue these girls. They'll actually house these girls on a piece of property that they were able to purchase, and they'll give them an education, and they'll help to train them with a viable job skill with the goal of sending them off to university and being able to literally dig themselves out of their family's heritage of living in a dump and trading sexual favors for food.
Tragic.
So we went down. Yes. Yes. So we went down, spent a week with them, did some amazing things. And the property itself is beautiful. So being that Nicaragua is very, very poor, the entire perimeter of the property, I think it's 2 acres. An acre and a half, something around there. But the entire property is surrounded by a 12-foot high cinder block wall shards of glass cemented into the top of the wall to discourage anyone from trying to come over the wall. The only way into the property was through a gated entrance. Everything was dirt roads, but you had to come through a gated entrance that was not electric. It was manual power. And just the nature of the environment, they had a couple of security guards on duty at all times. And at night, there was a night security guard who walked around with a flashlight and a sawed-off shotgun just to protect the girls and to protect the missionaries and to protect their food and anything else. But the landscaping in the area was absolutely lush and beautiful. We were there for a week, and there was one of our team members was a young lady got to know pretty well through a place that I worked at the time. And she came along because she loved adventures. And she had lots of questions about the Bible and different things about Jesus. So she and I sat up one night. I think it was Tuesday night. And we were just talking together. And she was sharing her thoughts. I was sharing my thoughts. We were conversing back and forth. And we were in an open area that had it was an open patio, but it had a roof over it. And it was the main dining area. So it was a beautiful tile floor. The ceiling was probably about 12 to 14 feet high. Fans going because it's just hot down there. And from that main area where we were sitting, there was a paved path that went from where we were sitting on the right hand side. It went off and it wide. There was a on the left hand side, the paved path wrapped around to the left entrance of a single building. And on that left side was where the women were sleeping. And where the Y went to the right side, on the right-hand side of that building was where the men were sleeping. And then there were restrooms in there, and there was a center divide to split everything up. So when we got done chatting, it was probably about midnight. We said our goodnights. She went off and took that left-hand turn and went into the dorm, and I watched her go. And I just kind of sat out enjoying the night. And honestly, I was praying for her. I was praying that she would experience peace in her life and everything that she had hoped for would be blessed upon her. And I sat out for maybe an extra half an hour and finally stood up and started walking towards that dorm. And where the Y divided, I stopped. And on the right-hand side, that Y not only went around to the men's entrance of the dorm, but it also split again, and it went up a slight hill, slight slope, to the dorms for all the girls, where that's where they'd stay with house mothers, so that they could learn to cook and clean and maintain their own home and all that good stuff, learn to be self-sufficient. And there were several of those. I think there were four or five of those up that pathway. And on the left-hand side, there was a split from the path that went down to the girls' dorm. And that path went straight through some very beautiful, lush garden foliage and straight down to the main entrance. And then the road and then, honestly, just wilderness beyond. As I stood in that Y, I just stopped and I looked to my right and said a quick prayer for all the girls who were living peaceably and for the den mothers, so to speak. And then I turned to my left and I was going to say a similar prayer over all the women who were currently staying in that dorm as part of our missionary team. And as I turned to my left, I saw a black shadow walking up the path through the foliage. It had mass because it was shifting the plants as it walked by. And as I looked at it, I sensed that it was evil. It just felt incredibly evil. It was just pure evil. And it it wasn't a shadow figure. It was blacker than black. It almost absorbed light. It was human shape, about 10 foot tall. And it was being, there was a light on a post about 15 yards behind it, illuminating the path a little further down in that direction towards the main entrance. And that light could not penetrate it from the backside. So it created this backlit shadow that was walking up the path. And I stood there for the briefest of moments looking at it. And again, I'm a Jesus follower, so I just said a quick prayer and said, Lord, what is this? And what I heard, what I sensed the Lord spoke to me was, that's a demon going to attack your friend you just talked to. He wants to attack her dreams. So I stepped towards it, wanting to get in between it and the entrance of the dorm. And the moment I took a step towards it, it stopped. So I took another step towards it down the path. And we were maybe at this point 10 feet apart from each other. And every time I took a step towards it, it took a step backwards. So I started becoming really bold and taking confident steps towards it. And before I knew it, I was walking and it was running, and it ran straight down the path through the bars of the gate and out in across the dirt road and out into the wilderness. And it rustled the bushes as it went into the wilderness. And I saw all this happen, and I walked and I made it to about 5 feet from the gate, and I stopped and just kind of stared out. When to my left came sprinting that night's security guard, a guy I gotten to talk to quite a bit. And he doesn't speak any English, but my Spanish is just enough to pass at Taco Bell. So we were having a fun conversation, and he just looked at me with his eyes as wide as saucers, and he said, "What was that?" And I looked at him and I said, "You saw it too then?" And he just shook his head and backed up and put his hands up in the air. And I said, "Patricio, no quiero," and turned and walked away. That was a weird night.
Yeah. You know what's fascinating about that, hearing that, is I've actually heard people who say they've run into Sasquatch, and it's very similar to what you just said. It's a very tall individual, and one key thing that you said I picked up on, and I'm sure my audience probably picked up on it too, ones who've been listening for a while, some people will say it's like it absorbed the light. And, you know, and you can try and pass it off and say, well, you know, there's some colors that will absorb the light. And I know that to be true in Hollywood, because there's certain colors of black they don't use because it does absorb the light. But that's a pretty far stretch, in my opinion, to say, well, it's a certain color that it was using to absorb the light, because it's such a bizarre thing to see. Did it ever make a noise, or did it ever vocalize, or was it silent?
It was completely silent. The only sound was the rustling of the plants around it. But there were no footfalls. There was no sound of clothing upon clothing as it was running out. There was no sound of it. There was a sound when it hit the bars of the gate. It made the gate rattle. But it itself never made any sound, and it went through the bars of the gate. And those bars were, you know, set apart maybe 12, 18 inches. And it went through them.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Would you come back for a part two? Because I know you have a lot more to share.
Sure.
I would love to have you back. Sure. I really would. Because I find it fascinating. You know, a lot of times when you think of demons, you don't think that they can be physical in the sense of, well, that's not really true. I mean, even the knock on the door. What I was going to say is, you know, a lot of times with demons, they can't really be physical, but that's not really true. How you talk about the bushes being moved and even the knock on the door. They can be very physical. And I'm sure you have a ton of stories from, especially Nicaragua. I mean, Jesus, man. I forgive my language. I'm not a man of God, so forgive me. You know, it is fascinating to hear this stuff, you know, because I tend to think a lot of this stuff is correlated, you know, between, there's a correlation between aliens, demons, and even some of the weird cryptids. I really think that there's a correlation between all this stuff. You tend to pick up weird coincidences between all genres. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%.
But I appreciate you coming on, Patrick. Thank you again, and I sure hope you come back for part two. I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
I can't wait. Thanks again, Patrick. And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Until next time, everyone, happy holidays.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.